Kinderen, wat een kostbaar bezit en wat kun je ook met je kinderen meemaken. Gary Smiley praat erover in de Christelijke Riedel. En hij weet er alles van en zijn adviezen zijn als psycholoog geweldig. En verder veel muziek in de Christelijke Riedel, onder andere van John Garrett en Ming Kuang, een Chinese pianiste die voortreffelijk speelt. Hour of Power viert haar jubileum. 12,5 jaar. En in het kader daarvan is de Hooplijn opgericht. Een telefonische hulplijn. Hoop doet leven is het thema. En daarover praat ik met de dynamische motor achter de hulplijn, Charlene Kalkman. En veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Ik wens iedereen een hele fijne dienst toe.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Welcome to the house of God on Sunday, His holy day, into a place where filled with the energy of all of the thoughts in your minds that rise above you and surround you. I sense a powerful sense of hope here.
Yes, this is. There's hope here because God is here. So what a wonderful service we have today. Dad, Gary Smalley is delivering the message today on guarding your child's heart. And I'm excited. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Gary Smalley has been a friend of mine for probably 40 years, though he's hardly that old.
Oh, yeah.
But he's one of the great spokesmen for Christ
yes.
and the family and mm-hmm. the positive Christian faith. Very honored to have him here. He comes to share himself with us, and we thank him from the bottom of my heart.
Yes.
So, turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you. Give them the blessing. God loves you, so do I.
God loves you, Dad.
Listen to the sound of these voices. This is the day that God has made.
Yes.
We are rejoicing.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have the faith that brings us to the house of the Lord once a week.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are believers. Thank you. We are walking in the way of our Lord. Thank you. We are surrounded by believers. What a happy, holy place. Thank you. Amen. seated. Listen to the words of Scripture this morning from Psalm 121. King David is reminding us that God is our foundation and our ever-present help. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over us will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of God. Well, I have a special guest this morning. I say that every week. But this morning is someone very special. Samuel Young. 13 years ago, I was in Taiwan delivering motivational lecture to corporate people. And one of the young men came up to me afterwards, introduced himself. And I met him for the first time, Sam Young. He became a Christian and has lived that life very beautifully. He is today the executive district director of one of the largest insurance groups in the world. I appreciate so much that he would give of his valuable time to come over here and say hello to us and share his faith with us. He is serving today our ministry as a volunteer, chairman of the board of directors of the Hour of Power office in Hong Kong. Welcome, Mr. Young.
Thank you, Dr. Sula. Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah.
Well, what brings you here?
I come here to see you, and also I want to share my testimony with the brother and sister in U.S.
Good. Share your story.
Okay. This time I come here, I should like to share how God guided me in the financial tsunami.
Financial tsunami,
yeah.
In Hong Kong?
I think the tsunami not only in Hong Kong, but also in the world.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. During 2008, in the beginning of the financial tsunami, like many other financial corporations, my company, my parent company in U.S., was near bankruptcy. If there was no additional capital injection. At the time, everybody was fear. In Hong Kong, our colleagues also were fear. But for me, I felt peaceful and calm because I know God is my protection, and also we rely on God and trust in God. I think God will bring us to go through this tough time because I know everything is in God's hand. If God allow my parent company to collapse, how can I do? But I believe that God will open another opportunity for me. But on the contrary, my parent company survive. I have nothing to worry. So I keep my pray and wait for the law. And I remembered a few later, up to September 16, I read the Bible. Especially when I read Psalm 91, especially verses 1 and 2 and 7 spoke to my heart. Can I read?
You read English?
Yeah, in English, yeah. Not read in Chinese. Okay. He who dwells in the shelters of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Especially in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. After I read this, I feel very, very peaceful, and I continue to pray, and also dedicate in my work. And for me, in the last 2 years, my personal business was very well. And also, I just got the award from the company, the Top District Director Award in my company. And in addition, my personal income was the highest in my career of 29 years.
Wow.
So it's amazing.
You are very generous. Always have been. And God has blessed you.
I know this is the secret we must follow from the Bible. Can I read the Bible?
Sure, you sure can.
Yeah. From the Bible, Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10 said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, say the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of the heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I believe in God's word.
Yes.
During the tough time, throughout my personal career, even though the Asia financial crisis, the SARS, and also the recent financial tsunami, I always tithe 10. I always offering 10%, and sometimes more than that.
Yes,
because I trust in my God's word, and my God's word is real.
You cannot see is those verses are underlined in yellow in your
mind. Yeah, I underline and bear it in my mind, in my heart. And I use it and waiting for my God. And also, I believe that God will renew our strength.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Samuel Young.
In the middle of the struggle, in the midst of every fear, in the heart that's filled with sorrow and the eye that's filled with tears, there's a quiet voice that's calling and a hand that reaches out. It gives power to the weak and it strengthens those in need. There is hope, there is hope. It's the anchor deep inside you. It's the compass that will guide you. Don't give up. Without what you have to give, always know there is hope. It's the courage to be daring and a refuge in the storm. It's the spark that drives you forward and the fire that keeps you warm. It will find you when you're hurting, when you're suffering all alone. It will chase away despair, and it's closer than a prayer. There is the compass that will guide you. Don't give up. Don't give in. The world won't be the same without what you have to give. Always know there is. To give always. is home.
Thank you so much.
En dat was zanger John Garrett en hij zong There is Hope. Er is hoop in het midden van de storm van je leven, zong die. En ik kan me voorstellen als, als het niet zo goed gaat in je leven. Dat alle hoop je eigenlijk ontvallen is. Dat je denkt, waar moet ik terecht? En daarom zijn we trots, eigenlijk moet ik zeggen dankbaar dat we in dit jubileumjaar van Hour of Power de hooplijn hebben opgericht. En die gaat vandaag van start om 10:00 om precies te zijn. En we zijn blij en dankbaar dat we mensen ook via de telefoon mogen helpen. Want we merken dat de uitzendingen wat teweeg brengen. En dat er hopeloze mensen zijn die hulp en hoop zoeken. En daarom is het thema Hoop doet leven. En een van de mensen, een stuwende kracht achter onze hooplijn, is Charlene Kalkman. Charlene, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Je bent er al een hele tijd mee bezig met de voorbereiding, met de training. Wat bracht jou ertoe? Wat heb je zelf meegemaakt dat je zegt, ik wil zo graag mensen helpen?
Vanuit werksituaties, vrijwilligerswerk, maar ook uit mijn persoonlijk leven, is me heel goed bekend hoezeer een mens in nood kan verkeren. In geestelijke nood. En dan behoefte heeft aan een luisterend oor, persoonlijke aandacht, een stukje hoop. Ja, dat eigenlijk.
Ja. Wat is hoop?
Hoop. Ja, hoop kent veel gezichten. Ja. Hoop op dat dingen beter gaan. Hoop op herstel. Hoop op weerzien. Hoop op nog een goede tijd samen als een leven naar een einde loopt. Ja.
De hooplijn wordt opgericht in het kader van 12,5 jaar Hour of Power. Gaat vandaag van start. Dat vind ik ook heel mooi in deze jubileummaand. Ik heb in de afgelopen 12,5 jaar de meest hartverscheurende brieven gelezen van kijkers die aan het einde van de Latijn waren, die bijvoorbeeld toevallig keken naar Hour of Power, die we hebben kunnen helpen. En dat ging dan op schrift, zoals dat heet. En nu dus bellen, wat eigenlijk veel persoonlijker en mooier is. Ik zit nu te kijken naar Hour of Power. En ik zit met een heel groot probleem in mijn leven. Ik kom er niet uit. Ik ga zo meteen de hulplijn bellen. Wat kan ik dan verwachten? Kan iedereen bellen?
Iedereen kan bellen. Wat er ook voor jou speelt, iedereen kan bellen. Dan bel je 0900 333 4447 en dan krijg je een betrokken christen, een goed getrainde vrijwilliger aan de telefoon die er voor jou is. Die jou luisterend oor biedt, met jou gaat kijken van wat speelt er voor jou, wat is belangrijk voor jou en hoe kunnen we samen kijken hoe je dit kunt volhouden of hoe je situatie kunt verbeteren. Het zijn allemaal mensen die getraind zijn, die nu pastoraal vrijwilliger zijn voor de hooplijn. Het zijn mensen die allemaal het nodig hebben meegemaakt. En dat hebben kunnen omdraaien naar handen en voeten geven aan naastenliefde. Met een warm hart, zorgzaam zijn, goed luisteren, er zijn voor de ander. Het zijn mensen die we eigenlijk voelen als een warme deken. Mensen waar je veilig bij voelt.
Waarom doen onze vrijwilligers dit? Wat is hun motivatie?
Hun motivatie, dat is de Heere God, de Heere Jezus. Dat is allereerst, dat hoor je bij iedereen. Ook gemotiveerd door de uitzendingen van Hour of Power, dat hoor ik ook heel veel terug. En iets willen doen voor je naaste. Het zijn allemaal mensen die graag voor de naaste wat willen betekenen.
Ja, even een kritische vraag.
Ja.
Ik kan me voorstellen dat mensen die Hour of Power niet zo goed kennen en misschien voor het eerst kijken of een paar keer gekeken hebben, die denken van nou, weet je, er zit een verborgen agenda achter. Ik word gelijk zo meteen als ik bel met de Bijbel en Jezus om mijn oren geslagen. Of
nee.
Oh.
Nee, want het gaat om degene die belt. Het gaat niet om dat wij iets willen verkondigen. Nee, wij willen er zijn voor jou, voor u, voor iedereen. Dus wie centraal staat, dat is de beller.
Ja.
Hulpvrager, als je dat zo zou willen omschrijven. En daar gaat het om. Dus het kan ook best wel iemand zijn die niks heeft met het geloof. Dat mag. We zijn er voor iedereen. Jezus was er ook voor iedereen. Juist hij. En dat willen we graag navolgen.
Soms heb je problemen die je zelfs niet met de mensen die het dichtst bij je staan, familie, vrienden, kunt en wilt delen. Hoe anoniem is de hulplijn als je belt? Ligt het dan niet op straat?
Die is helemaal anoniem. Wij registreren geen gegevens van de beller. Dus geen persoonsgegevens, niets. Dus het is anoniem en het is vertrouwelijk. Iedereen die aan die hulplijn komt te zitten, die heeft een verklaring ondertekend met betrekking tot de wet op privacy. Dat er dus niets met andere mensen wordt besproken.
Ja. Ben je blij met de hulplijn?
Ja, ontzettend.
Ja?
Ja, ik vind het geweldig dat het er komt.
Ja.
Ik denk ook dat, wat ik al zei, er is gewoon ontzettend veel nood in Nederland. En dat wordt echt niet minder.
Heb je ook gemerkt dat telefonisch mensen te woord staan helpt?
Ja. Ja,
dat je bent altijd overtuigd.
Ja, ik heb het gedaan.
Ja.
In een andere setting, als vrijwilliger en ook beroepsmatig heb ik het gedaan. En dan merk je dat alleen al door er te zijn, door te luisteren, door echt helemaal gericht te zijn op de persoon die belt, dat voor mensen al heel wat doet. Dat er iemand is die met aandacht naar jou luistert, die jou belangrijk vindt.
Welke situatie is je het meest bijgebleven?
Ik heb eerder vrijwilligerswerk gedaan. Ik ben contactpersoon geweest voor ouders waarvan een kind ging overlijden. Dat is een situatie waarvan je zegt, dat kun je niet aan. Maar ik weet uit ondervinding dat wat ondraaglijk leek, uiteindelijk draagbaar bleek. En dus dat kan wel.
Ja. Heb je zelf in je leven ook een situatie meegemaakt dat je dacht, nou nu is de bodem onder mijn leven weggeslagen en ik zie geen hoop meer. Of heb je dat niet meegemaakt?
Oh ja, ja.
Ja? Ja.
Toen je het vroeg, huisjes van, oef, ja. Ja, ja. We hebben twee dochters en de jongste die bleek een hersentumor te hebben toen ze 3 was. Toen kregen we die diagnose. En ik schiet er nog vol van.
Terecht.
Toen dacht ik echt van, nou kan niemand me meer helpen. En dan is daar God. En dan zijn daar mensen. En dat was, dan merk je dat als je denkt van, dit kan ik niet aan, dit kan ik niet dragen. Dat het wel lukt en dat het wel kan. En Michelle is nog bijna 14 jaar na de diagnose blijven leven. En we hebben het geweldig gehad met elkaar. We hebben heel veel meegemaakt. Michelle heeft heel veel doorgemaakt, wij ook. En daar komt eigenlijk ook mijn dankbaarheid vandaan. Ook dat is de grote motivatie achter alles. Van, dat als er mensen zijn die, allereerst als God er is, met God kun je door alles heen. Ik zeg niet dat het leuk of makkelijk is, maar je kan er wel doorheen. En als er dan ook nog mensen zijn om je heen die je helpen, die voor je bidden. We hebben het echt gevoeld dat we gedragen werden door gebed. En dan zelfs in op het einde dat we wisten, ook Michelle, van ik ga dood. Toch hadden we vrede. En dat was bijzonder. Het was hartverscheurend, dat wel. Ja.
Je mist haar nog iedere dag.
Ja. Ja.
Ja, nou, ja, wat ik zo mooi vind in Psalm 23, dat is een psalm die eigenlijk het meest geciteerd wordt. Dat staat als je door het dal van de schaduw van de dood gaat, dat je er ook weer, ondanks het feit dat je in dat dal zit, dat je er ook weer uitkomt. Omdat de goede herder je voorgaat en dat je er met heel veel littekens, maar toch doorheen komt. En dat er ook weer licht is aan het eind van de tunnel. Dankjewel dat je dit wilt delen met anderen en straks ook aan de telefoon zit met een team van vrijwilligers. Ik ben er echt super blij en trots op, dat mag ik nog wel een keer zeggen. Ja. En jij heel veel zegen toegewenst en ik hoop dat het hele team heel veel mensen mag helpen vanuit die bewogenheid die je hebt laten zien. Tjalien, heel hartelijk bedankt. Wil je nog 1 keer het nummer herhalen alsjeblieft?
Ja, het nummer van de hooplijn is 0900... 333-444-7.
Charlene, ik wil je graag dit medaillon meegeven. Thema van Hour of Power dit jaar. Ik ben altijd met je. En daar zit een kaartje bij. En dat vind ik zo wat prachtig. De goede herder die het schaapje op zijn schouder heeft. En dat staat symbool voor mensen die niet verder kunnen lopen. En symboliseert de hooplijn gedragen worden. Alsjeblieft, krijg je erbij.
Dankjewel, man.
En wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Kathedraal, ons nummer van de hooplijn en de tijden dat we voor u en voor jou beschikbaar zijn, komen zometeen in beeld. En wij gaan luisteren naar een prachtig stuk pianospel door de Chinese Ming Kuang.
He's a seasoned marriage and family expert. He is a president and founder of Smalley Relationship Center. He provides family counseling, coaching, at conferences, books, and videos. And he has spoken to over 2 million people live at conferences and on television and radio. He and his wife, Norma, have been married for 40 years, over 40 years. They live in Branson, Missouri with 3 children, 8 grandchildren. His book and DVD is entitled Guarding Your Child's Heart. Please welcome Gary Smalley. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much. At my age, I'm 70 now, and so I'm always thrilled when I'm invited to speak anywhere, for sure. And it's a joy to be back here with you. And I was doing a book tour a few years ago all over the nation, and I happened to be in Portland, Oregon, and the book was Making Love Last Forever, and I did all the television and radio stuff that you do in a city when you go in, and my best friend in high school and college was there, and so Dr. Gary Lovejoy, so he said, hey, do you want to go see my dad? He was like 95 in the retirement home, and I said, yeah, I'd love to see him, and grew up in their home and had so much fun with him, and anyway, so we go to the home, and he said, well, let me go check with the doctors and see if my dad can take visitors. And so I sat in the lobby, and I was just going to rest and, like, read the paper or something, just relax. And there was a woman in there seated, and I sat close to her, and so she strikes up this conversation with me. So I find out that she's, like, 95 herself and a resident there, but just so alert and clever and engaging. I thought, wow, this is amazing. That's the way we're all going to be when we get to be 95. And so, anyway, I enjoyed my talk. My friend came out and said his dad couldn't take visitors. And so I stood up and I shook this woman's hand. I said, I really enjoyed talking with you. And I said, by the way, do you know who I am? And she said, no, but if you go down to the front office, they'll tell you who you are. No, I was asking that for a different reason. So anyway, you always get humbled in one way or another. So anyway, Today what I want to talk to you about is something I discovered accidentally when my kids were young. I have three kids, and I want to show them to you in a few seconds. But I didn't come from a healthy home. My father was very angry, a lot of arguments, and I remember him decking my older brother. And you know, I remember at the dinner table sometimes he'd throw the napkin down and say, "I'm getting out of here. There's no respect in this house." And we'd all say, "Yeah, get out of here." And so, you know, it was just kind of a chaotic, dysfunctional home. So when I had kids and started having kids, I had no clue of how to raise them. You know, I was repeating some of the same things he did, and I didn't want that. So I asked a really godly pediatrician that was taking care of my kids. I said, "What do you advise? I mean, I have had no training as a father. What would you advise?" He said, "Well, I've raised these five kids," and he said, "they're doing pretty well." And he said, "I always had a rule." He said, "I did three things, and I did them almost every day. And so I would encourage you to do something like this, because I see what's happened in my own home, and I trust it could happen in yours." So what I did, what he told me to do, was tell your kids there's three great things in life and remind them of it all the time. If you can do it daily, creatively, do it. And so I said, "Okay, what are they?" He said, "Tell your kids that the three greatest things they'll ever learn are to first honor God, second honor others," which really the word honor, I had this with me, but this is a $10 million diamond ring. And so this is an example of honor. I probably paid, you know, 10 bucks for it, but I told it afterwards that it was worth $10 million. And so honor is basically when we, you know, we drop our jaw and sort of gasp when something's very important in life. And so what I wanted to teach my kids right from the very beginning, that honor is attaching high value to something. So I said the three greatest things in life are honoring God, honoring others, and honoring God's creation. So almost daily, I mean, it was so often, I would say, "Okay, we'd be in the car," or I used to be a runner in the good old days, and I would be running, and I'd try to time it on their way to school, and I'd try to get in their way like they were going to run me over, and then they'd roll the window down, and I'd say, "Oh, three of the most valuable people on earth," and I'd say, "What's the greatest thing in life?" They'd say, "Dad, we're late for school. We know what it is. Tell me what it is." "It's honor God, honor others, honor His creation." "Yes. Have a great day, okay?" Now, here's what was happening, but I didn't realize it at the time. My kids were growing, along with me, because I was reminding them, we were all growing three large trees, memory trees in our brain, but I didn't know that. I didn't know the neurology behind this, but today what I'm learning in neurology is that every thought you and I have, every thought, forms its own electrical and chemical formation, takes about 30 seconds or longer, and then it seeps into our heart, which I think is the subconscious mind. But anyway, it seeps into our heart, and it starts growing a tree, because every thought is like a branch with some leaves on it. And so the more passion and excitement and dedication and emotion we put into a thought, the bigger the branch is, and the more leaves are on it. So when it seeps into our heart, it starts growing a tree, similar thoughts grow similar trees. And so here's what's really fascinating. Every tree you and I grow in our brain, it has fruit. And when the fruit ripens and drops to the ground, it goes to the conscious brain as a new thought. So all, just think of all the thoughts you've had over your lifetime and all the trees you've grown, planted and grown, your own thought. I had no clue for 65 years of my life that thoughts even mattered. And now I realize that every thought matters. No wonder Paul said, "Let's take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ." Well, my son started, here, let me show you my kids, because I want to show you what happened. There's Greg, and Greg's kids, he got Annie, but his oldest is Taylor. She's 17 years old. She wants to be a pediatrician, but she's been memorizing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So recently I asked her, "What's that done for you?" She says, "Grandpa, what it's really done for me is I want to be a doctor, but money is not really an attraction to me. What's really attracting me is being able to serve kids." And because she's got, that's the theme of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, is loving people, getting the love from God, actually. And so she's had thousands of thoughts because she's memorizing those verses, but thinking them, reminding herself of them during the day. And that's what meditation is. So it's memorizing and meditate. I call it M&M today. Anyway, that's the impact. The next one I have up here is my daughter, Carrie. She's in Uganda right now with Taylor, Greg's daughter, 17-year-old daughter. And they're visiting orphans in prisons over there, because if you're an orphan, you get put in prison, even if you didn't do anything. And so anyway, they're ministering to them right now. But my daughter wants, her dream is to save all the orphans in the world, about 180 million, whatever it is. And that's her heart and her prayer every day. So anyway, all of those people right there, my kids, are still memorizing Bible verses, and they're growing Bible verse trees in their brain. Those trees are growing daily because they meditate on those verses, and the fruit of those trees are bringing new thoughts to their mind, which is the same verse. And so it just reminds them during the day. And so all of us are growing these trees. So the last one is my son, Michael, who married his sweetheart, cheerleader at Baylor University. He actually was a quarterback in high school, but he prayed a whole year that he could meet her. So he went and practiced cheerleading so he could make the team. He finally did. And then when he made the team, he found out she was engaged. So I was a little disappointed, but she broke up eventually and fell into his arms, and the rest is history. But anyway, so his dream, like my son's dream, is to end divorce in America. So they all honor God, they all honor others, and they all honor God's creation, because there's huge trees in their brains about those three things that I helped them think on, never had a clue what I was doing. And that's the value of what Jesus said. Well, in fact, let me give you Solomon first. In Proverbs, it says this. Every day when you and I wake up, the greatest thing we can do, first thing, above all else, guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the wellspring of who you are. It's like, as a man or a woman thinks into her heart, so are they. Our thoughts determine who we become. And that's why Jesus said, in John 8:32, he said, if you really want to be my disciple, a follower of me, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you can't be a follower of mine, you won't be my disciple, unless my words abide within you. In other words, we memorize them and we think on them during the day, like David did in Psalm 1, and we meditate on them, and we grow these trees in our brain, these Bible verse trees in our brain. And he said, when you do this, you will know the truth. It'll be inside of you. And the truth will set you free. Free. Free from what? Free from discouragement, from worry. How many have worried at least one time over the last month? Let's see. Okay. How many have complained at least one time over the last month? Okay. It's amazing. I'm memorizing four verses now, four words of Christ. Several other verses that I'm memorizing go under each of those four, but four powerful, the Word of God is powerful, alive, and sharper than a two-edged sword. I can testify of that today. At my age, never really understood why we memorize Scripture. Finally, it's getting clearer and clearer and clearer in my own brain, that as I memorize them and meditate on them during the day, I'm growing trees in my brain. And the fruit of those trees are changing my life. It's the truth, and it's setting me free. One of the first ones is my grandson, Michael. You saw him a minute ago. When he was 10 years old, he came to my home crying. He said that his life was miserable. He didn't know how he was going to keep going. And I thought, what in the world? I put my arms around him, give him a big hug, and I said, tell me what's going on. It's my mom, he said. She's driving me crazy. There's so many rules in my home. I got to do this at that time, and chores, and I got homework, and I got this. There's no free. He said, it's like living in a concentration camp. So I asked him to come to my office, give him a big hug, and I said, do you want to live like this the rest of your life? He said, no. I said, you want to do what I'm doing? Have you noticed me changing? He said, I have. He says, I said, you want to do what I'm doing right now? It'll bring you to a place where your mom won't be bothering you anymore, and you'll have victory and freedom to live wherever you want. You don't have to complain. He said, Grandpa, I would love that. Is that really possible? I said, yes. The first verse I gave him was James 1:19, 20. It's be quick to listen, slow to speak. You're going to therefore be slow to anger, because anger never brings you love and the righteousness of God. So he memorized that verse. He also memorized Philippians 4, 8 and 9, about only think of these eight things, and one of them is honor, and one of them is praising God. And so I had him memorize these verses. He did it with me. I memorized them too, the five verses. And then I would call him every day and say, what are the verses? He'd go, grab it, here they are. He had them pasted on his mom's dash of her car. He had them in the mirror in his bedroom. He had them on the bed. He had them in the refrigerator. He had them all over the place. And he put five stones in his pocket. And every time he felt those stones, he went over these five verses. He thought about these verses, the meaning of the verse, not just the words, but the meaning. And so 1 year goes by. And his mom's picking him up at school. And he's kind of a complaining, you know, gripey, you know, whiny, you know, kid. Some of you have had those kind of kids in your home. And so, anyway, she's picking him up at school. 1 year goes by. So now he's 11. And she says, do you have your homework? Yeah, yeah, I have homework. So they get about 2 miles away from school. And he says, oh, Mom, wait a minute. I did forget my spelling list. I got a test tomorrow. I'm not doing well in that class. Can you turn around and go back? And she said, no. She said, I'm going to do tough love with you today. And she started lecturing him about how he's irresponsible, and he's a lot like his grandpa. You know, somebody should have helped him a long time ago, and so on and so forth in school. But anyway, he said, I started to defend myself, but then I stopped because James 1, 19 and 20 jumped into my brain. And it said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because anger... And he says, I calmed right down, and I started listening. And then I thought of the other verse about, you want to think about what's, you know, honorable, what's right, what's pure, lovely, and so on, and then worthy of praise. And so he said, those things came to my brain, and I listened to my mom. And eventually he said, I sort of stopped her, because she can go on and on. And so anyway, he said, Mom, I have something to say, I have something to say. And she finally says, what? He says, Mom, 11-year-old, I just want to thank you for what you're saying to me right now. So that stunned her right off. And then he said, Mom, I love you so much. He didn't say to her, I know you're not the concentration camp guard. You know, he could have, but he didn't. Okay. He said, Mom, I love you. Thank you for what you're saying. You're right. I'm not the student I need to be. And I want to ask you if you could forgive me. And I want you to know that I'm really going to work on this in my life. What do you think Mom did? Started crying. Jaw dropped. In fact, she started crying so hard, she told me that she had to pull off the road. And she said the first emotions I had was to hand him my purse and say, here, buy whatever you want. Now, she didn't do that, but here's the point. That kid today, and has been doing for the last 4 years, is he raises money. He's like the chairman of his own little committee in school. He raises money to dig wells in Ethiopia, where his sister was born. And it's amazing to watch him. He can recruit major movie stars to his committee and his speaking things he does. And his age, but I see that the God's word, I don't even know if he's memorized more than five verses, but he thinks about them every day. And when you think about them, you grow a tree. And he's growing these Bible verse trees in his brain that are getting so large. And so then another story. A person who got out of prison in L.A., one of the head Latino gangs, he was the president of a Latino gang. He was in prison for life for murder, and he got out. And one day when I was talking to him, I was in the process of trying to mentor him, but he wasn't getting any of it. And so he finally said to me one day in total discouragement, I've had it. Nothing's going right. I'm miserable. And I said, I'm going to give you a four-day challenge if you'll take it. And he said, what's that? I said, if you'll take four of Christ's teachings, because I can fit all of his teachings in these four. If you take four of them, You take 4 days to memorize and think about them all day long, every day. A lot of emotion, get the meaning of the words behind what was in those words. And you meditate on those just like David does in Psalm 1. If you do that, call me in 4 days and tell me what happened. 4 days go by, he calls me on the phone. He says, you won't believe this. He said, I got a job in a television ministry. He said, what I learned in those 4 days is that God wanted me to be a servant, his servant, to serve people. And he said, when I came there, I was last on the totem pole, but it was like within the first week, they all raised me up like to the head of the company because I was just serving everybody. And he's still there. The whole ministry is thriving. He's basically one of the encouraging people there, but he's still meditating on those four verses, and because they change our life. I can tell you what it's done to me. It's dropped my worry, as I mentioned. My stress level is down to as low as it's ever been. I don't care where I'm driving, whatever traffic I'm in, you know, even when I'm out here. It doesn't matter anymore. I see my life changing because those four trees are my main trees that I grow. And incidentally, they're the exact opposite of the trees that Satan wants us to be thinking about every day. And that's pride, seeking more things in the world, pleasure, and complaining about our trials. And so here they are. I'm going to give them to you and then I'm done. Four verses from Christ, four teachings from Christ, four commands. And when you start growing those trees by memorizing them and then meditating on them. The first one is Matthew 5:3. It's blessed, how blessed you're going to be when you stay poor in spirit, which is humble, because God only gives his grace to the humble. But you get to inherit the very kingdom of heaven, which is his love, joy, peace, patience, righteousness, everything, okay? Second verse. Write these down if you want them, because I give you a 4-day challenge. Watch what happens in your life. Second verse, Mark 12:30. That's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Third one is Mark 12:31, loving others in the same way you want to be loved. When you meditate on that day and night and you start growing that tree, watch the changes that come to your life. And you can do it for the rest of your life, doesn't matter what your age is. And the fourth one is Matthew 5:10-11, and it's Jesus talking about how you and I can learn to rejoice, give thanks in all of our circumstances, good and bad, especially in our trials, in our heartaches, in our thorns in our life that hit us, you know. Anyway, that's where I'm coming today. I'm getting to the place where I can start thanking God even before I feel it. I do it because the fruit's there. And so it's absolutely amazing. I can give you story after story after story of lives that are changing. My life is changing. The thoughts in my brain, the immoral thoughts that are basically gone from my brain that were a part of my life for 65 years, they're gone because Christ's words in me are dwelling inside of me and setting me free. And so that's what I'm doing. And I give you that challenge. And that's really, even though this says guarding your child's heart, it's guarding all of our hearts, no matter what our age, grandparents or not. And so anyway, let's pray together. Father, I love you. I thank you for life. I thank you that you are my Lord, my boss. You become more of my boss as I learn your words and they are part of me. And then it's easy to put your yoke on me because your yoke is light and you're meek. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. I pray for each person here, Lord, that they'd get excited from your Spirit, empowering them to be able to memorize your words and then meditate on them day and night for the rest of their life. And Lord, thank you ahead of time for setting them free. I pray this in your matchless name. Amen. 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 Amen.
And now, may the Lord bless you, keep you in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before him in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal life with him in glory. Amen.
Prachtige uitspraak. Het leven draait om relaties en de rest is bijzaak. En dat is ten diepste zo. Wij nemen afscheid en we hopen er volgende week weer te zijn. En dan met Tas Sada, een bijzonder iemand. Hij werd de slager van de PLO genoemd. Hij heeft veel mensen geliquideerd. Haatte Joden en Christen. En dat hij hier, hopelijk volgende week, op de bank zit, dat betekent dat er iets veranderd is in zijn leven. Een boeiend verhaal. Johan Voor de Wind, een onvermoeid strijder voor mensenrechten, komt mee. Hij is Kamerlid voor de ChristenUnie in de Tweede Kamer. En zo hebben we hopelijk volgende week weer een hele mooie uitzending. Ik hoop dat ook deze uitzending veel heeft betekend. En vergeet u niet, vergeet jij niet, als u hulp zoekt, bel ons. Dat kan vanaf 10 uur. Iedereen die het mogelijk maakt dat de hooplijn in de lucht is, heel hartelijk bedankt. Onze trouwe kijkers. Graag nogmaals tot volgende week.
Robert Vernon Schuller komt binnenkort weer naar Nederland voor tv-opnames en u kunt erbij zijn. Hij verzorgt een inspirerende prekenserie. Samen in de voetsporen van Paulus ontdekken dat alles draait om liefde. Wij nodigen u uit om op zaterdag 22 en maandag 24 oktober één of meerdere dagdelen bij te wonen in de Rehoboth-kerk in Hilversum. Reserveer nu via onze website of 035-538-0588.
Without what you have to give, always know. There is
thank you so much.